Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Here.
Councilmember Christensen?
Here.
Council President Deborah Vanderhaar?
Here.
Councilmember McPherson?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. If you rise and run with the pledge of allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Well, you are such an awesome drummer. For those who didn't get to make it down to our first of our concert series for the summer, Boy and his band, the Almost Dangerous Band.
Oh, okay.
Played, and did a great job, and we appreciate it. It was a good time.
Mayor, thank you, council, and also to the Parks and Rec Department and to the clerk's office and everyone else for all the courtesies that were provided to us. And we had a thoroughly good time. That is a very nice place to have those concerts. And thanks to the mayor and an error with regards to the people moving out. I thought staging at the patio was tremendous. As far as the management. I think I need enough room also for the concession here. And it was really a fun evening.
Right.
Appreciated the audience.
Right. Thank you. First item I have is the consent agenda. Is there any discussion or additions or deletions or motions?
I'll approve the consent agenda.
Second. Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council, please?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Ruben Vanderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Next, we have community reports and requests. So we have Valley Regional Transit, Stephanie Hunt, the Senior Principal Planner, and David Peterson, Mobility Coordinator. Stephen, hi.
Hello. We didn't tell you what good answers there. Yes, so Stephen Hunt, Principal Planner with Valley Regional Transit. Thank you, Mayor, members of the Council, for letting us be here. David will be joining me here in a second. We've got a joint presentation. So we're here tonight to talk about transit services in CUNA. And there is an action item we'll be talking about a bit later, which is to increase funding for specialized transportation services that David's going to talk about in a minute. But I wanted to begin by talking about what we have been able to accomplish in this last year. So there's been a lot of work that the BRT has been doing across the valley, including here in CUNA. We worked with CUNA on the latest update to the comprehensive plan, and we're happy to support the city in that effort and identifying areas where transit might be able to play a larger role. We have been working with all of our partners in terms of increasing the amount of transit services across the valley, in particular working with Ada County, the City of Boise, the City of Meridian, the City of Eagle, to all of whom are considering increasing transit contributions to transit services in FY20. And so that's been really encouraging. Those efforts are based on the work that we completed last year, which was the adoption of the Valley Connect 2.0 plan, which we came and presented on here. There are plans for increased service in CUNA, which we'll talk about in a minute. We implemented new services in January, where we added service in along State Street. We changed inter-county services that connect between Nampa and Boise, and we changed where that runs on Overland, which would have been one of the areas that we were talking about tying into the regional services for CUNA. It would be running down either Linder or Meridian Road to connect into the services there on Overland. We launched mobile ticketing, a mobile ticketing app, which allows our riders to to buy their passes on their phone and show that to the drivers as they get on. We did that in May, along with in January. We also launched a pilot with Lyft where riders can ride to certain stops along State Street in Fairview to make those first and last mile connections. So that's been, and that's been well used. We've been excited about providing that mobility. In downtown, we've launched the Downtown Mobility Collaborative. The reason I bring that up is because what its focus is about creating a stronger connection between transit and the destinations we serve, the employers that we serve. And that will serve as a model for outreach efforts that we'll make to other large employers and residential units where we can, where we're talking about developing a residential pass program, which can be duplicated across the valley. I mentioned already that we've begun talking about transit expansion discussions with the city of Meridian and Eagle. And I bring that up again here because those, both of those efforts impact the opportunity to tie into the regional network for CUNA. In the Valley Connect plan, we talked about services coming from the north down Eagle to potentially to the village, services from the south of CUNA coming up and connecting at the village with opportunities to travel east-west at around the freeway as well as on Fairview. So some of those pieces are coming together, and it's been encouraging to see. So I mentioned Valley Connect 2.0, which is a plan that was adopted last April. Sorry, April of 2018, I guess the last April was this year. So April 2018, which included services that really expanded in Meridian, both to the north and to the south. And this has kicked off, I think, a lot of discussion in all of our funding partners about how we can grow that transit service. And one of the efforts that the city of Boise has taken is looking at, put in air quotes, dedicating, but creating an MOU between VRT and the city for a 5% of property tax going to public transportation. And each year they would have the opportunity to renew that, which helps as VRT is planning for longer term investments to have some kind of understanding of what the local commitment is for transportation funding. So that is some legislation that's under consideration in the city of Boise. And I also already talked about efforts in Meridian and CUNA, sorry, Meridian and Eagle. And just as a point of reference, when we look at the amount of service that's in Valley Connect 2.0 and what it would cost to run service from CUNA up to Meridian, we were looking at costs between $60,000 and $120,000, which falls between 2.5% and 5% of the property taxes that we estimate coming from CUNA. So just, I mentioned this just as points of reference to talk about how is the transit discussion across the valley going and what does it mean for the city of CUNA. So tonight, though, we wanted to talk about the requests that we're making of the city relative to the current funding, current services that are being provided. And just as a way of background, when we approach all of our funding partners, we look at how much service is being provided to that community, and the efforts that we provide in terms of planning and support. So there are, a couple of different ways that we develop that assessment. One is based on population. So we look at the population that each community has. This is what we call the regional assessments. These are the dues or the monies that we use to help support regional planning. Things like our efforts with the CUNA comprehensive plan. And anytime you guys have questions about what can transit do for you, we come and support the city in your efforts. That is funded out of these regional funds. And they're based on population of each of the jurisdictions, or they're based on road miles, if we're talking about a highway district because they don't have a population, or they're based on negotiated rate, if we're talking about an institution like Boise State or CWI. So we work with our partners to have this regional assessment calculated in one of those three ways. We also prepare service contributions based on the amount of service that's available in each jurisdiction, and those are determined based on the number of miles that the routes, that the services operate within that jurisdiction, in addition to considerations for where the bus stops are. So if a bus runs through a jurisdiction but doesn't stop there, that isn't the same thing as having stops in that jurisdiction. And for other partners, again, like Boise State or CWI, we do have negotiated rates where they're purchasing, in essence, transit service routes 45, for example, or 55. So in the city of Kuna, we do talk about a regional assessment, and that's based on population. We haven't been asking for a service contribution for fixed line because there isn't any fixed route service in Kuna. But David will be talking about some specific contributions for specialized transportation, which would fall under the negotiated rates here. And just a brief overview then of the different types of services that we provide. I mentioned fixed route service, which are the larger vehicles. They're stops where you have to stop at the side of the road, comes on a fixed schedule. And again, there aren't any of those services within the city of Kuna. There's specialized or ride-sharing services that David will be talking about later. An example of that nearby is with Harvest and the other efforts that we've done with senior centers across the valley. And then demand response or access, which is services to persons with disabilities, and that's a requirement anywhere we provide fixed line service to provide complementary in the sense that it's similar to, not free, the fixed line service. We also work with our local jurisdictions to identify capital projects and whether that's within the city of Nampa or Boise or Meridian, and work with them to leverage local dollars to build capital facilities that are needed to support transit. So those are the ways that we develop our requests of each of our partners, and that's what's behind the request that has been provided to the city of Kuna. And as I mentioned, David's going to talk some more about the specifics for the specialized transportation ads. The last thing I wanted to mention was each year we provide performance reports about how we've been doing, and the takeaways for this year are that if we look at FY18 over 17, fixed route ridership is up a little bit, and that's been largely driven by shuttle services around in and around Boise State University. We've also seen big strides in the specialized or the ride sharing services, which have added to those. We have been improving on our on-time performance, where that's been up from last year, so that's how often is the bus on time. And we've been able to add a little bit of service, as I mentioned. And so we keep track of these each year, and that's been, well, this is the report for 2018. So with that, I'm going to turn the time over to David to talk about rideshare services and specialized services.
Okay. David Pedersen, I'm a mobility coordinator with Valley Regional Transit. And you're going to have to forgive me, I'm all nasally, and the allergies have just really nailed me starting this past weekend.
Because you can have a radio voice.
Who needs a microphone, right? In a smaller room. VRT does support Kuna Senior Center transportation. Kuna Senior Center has been providing transportation for a number of years, doing a very good job in providing rides to seniors and persons with disabilities in and around the Kuna area. They make trips into doctor calls, that type of thing. So they'll go into Boise and the Meridian. They go out for lunches, that type of thing. One of the things about providing transportation for seniors, many of the people that we're talking about have no other means of transportation at all. If it weren't for the Kuna Senior Center transportation, they'd be homebound. I mean, their nutrition needs would go lacking. They wouldn't make it out for recreation. The transportation provides social outlets for them. And it's free. The rides are free. They just have to call and make a reservation. And off they go. With the high cost of transportation, Kuna Senior Center depends on a combination of Federal Transit Administration, FTA, funding and local match funds to provide the free transportation to seniors and persons with disabilities. Kuna is still, the FTA funds are broken out into three different zones based on population, large urban, small urban, and rural. And Cuna is still considered rural. It seems like about every 5 years, 4 or 5 years, the FTA just takes a big whack at the rural funding. And that's happened again. It happened about 4 years ago, and they did it again for whatever reason. The funding that came down to provide funding on the federal level for transportation in Cuna was cut by about 50%. And transportation has a fixed cost per ride, and so that really affects how much service Cuna Senior Center can provide. And our hands are tied. I mean, we can't generate more money, more federal funding that comes from FTA to Idaho Transportation Department to us to fund services like Cuna Senior Center. So the allocations are variable, and this year especially it hit the Senior Center hard. One of the things to keep in mind, and this is not just for now, but in the future, according to a recent report on Channel 6, the number of Idaho seniors, people age 65 and older, grew nearly 8% from mid-16 to mid-17, and that's the highest percentage of any age group. And I saw a report again last night that confirmed that very thing. It included 18, I think it was, that seniors are, in fact, moving to the Treasure Valley. And I'm sure you're seeing the influx as well. As more and more seniors move to Cuna, demand for specialized transportation continues to outpace the available service. Without a stable source of funds for transportation, many homebound Cuna area seniors have no other source of reliable transportation. Once again, they're using it for health, nutrition, socialization. All areas of life are affected. Between 17 and 19, Cuna Senior Center Transportation experienced a 50% reduction in federal allocation of transportation funds. And I know this is, typeset is too small to read, but you can see by the graph that the most recent year is in the blue, and it's taken quite a hit. They're not able to provide as many rides. They've had to cut the transportation program dramatically. So the request that we're making to the city of Cuna is to, and I was told not to use the word bridge, because that's not a physical bridge, but is to bridge funding to ensure transportation services are available for seniors and persons with disabilities for the remainder of this fiscal year and throughout 2020. When the FTA allocates the money, it comes down in two-year increments. So we're talking about 19 and 2020. So, and it would be 13,000 is their shortage for this year, and 13,000 for 2020. Oops. And that's just another graph that demonstrates that same thing. So it would be a total of $23,000 that we're asking the city to support senior transportation during 19 and 20. So the next steps, I guess, would be a cooperative agreement that we would be sending to the city for execution in 2019. And the action item, we would take it then to the BRT Board of Directors, and the city of Cuna, after everything is approved, would be invoiced in September 2019. Questions or comments?
Okay, questions for Kevin or Stephen?
I think so.
So how this kind of came about was I was made aware that there was this issue that came up this year and that they were going to be really short on funding and have to cut bus rides and services. And I know personally my mother used that that whole service for her final years, and it meant a lot to her to have that, just the socializing and getting to the grocery store and doctor's appointments, and that was a really big deal for her. So it was disturbing for me to hear that they were going to be losing that kind of funding and having it cut in half. So I suggested that they bring the request to council to see if we could do something to kind of bridge that gap. I don't know if the Lions Club, I think, donated some money. Is that been accounted for on the $13,000 yet or no? $2,000? So would that reduce it to $11,000 for this year?
Yeah, it could.
Okay. So I guess as far as action, that would, of course, it's the council's discretion if you want to approve that tonight or not. We would do that, but the funding for next year, of course, is something that we'll just do through the budget process like normal. So that one would come in a later meeting in the next month or two. So anyway, so if no more questions for you guys, if council wants to.
If I could ask one question, what does the city of Canada get for the $9,819? We don't have any buses out here. We have no routes. What does the assessment cover?
So that's what I'm saying, that when we develop these requests of each of our funding partners, they're made up of two different components. There's the regional assessment, and then there's the service contribution. And that regional assessment is the one that's based on, in your case, population. So what share of the regional population lives in CUNA. And we take the regional overhead, which includes the planning functions of Valley Regional Transit, are putting together the Valley Connect 2.0, the efforts that we do in terms of supporting City of CUNA on their comprehensive plan. Those are the services that City of CUNA, like all the other jurisdictions, receive from Valley Regional Transit. And that's covered by the regional assessment.
And then I haven't been able to get numbers on it yet. We do have some people that actually go to the Overland Park and Ride and ride the bus from there, but I still don't know what numbers that is. But so we do have some people that utilize the fixed route service, but they have to get to Overland and the freeway for that to happen.
It seems like over the years, VRT has said that they would be providing bus service out here. Now, I've heard that for probably 5 to 8 years, projecting out how many more 5 to 8 years is VRT looking at.
So we, again, when we come to our funding comes from local jurisdictions, general funds. And so service comes to jurisdictions as we're able to work together towards developing a funding plan for that. And that's why there are two kind of different elements to our funding requests. One is we look at some of our regional overhead, which is just the efforts that we do regionally to plan and to work with our partners. And then there's the actual operations. And we separate those two things out, and we distribute the cost of the regional overhead across all of our partners based on population. And that's the part that you see in the request. And then we talk about service, which is distributed according to where the service is at. And so the reason that we haven't expanded service into other communities is because we haven't yet developed a funding plan with those jurisdictions to increase service. So we can provide service to CUNA as soon as we are able to hammer out a funding plan that will allow us to get the vehicles and operate the service to the city of CUNA.
Okay.
Yes, Bill.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Bill Giagray, city attorney, it would be my recommendation for your consideration, since it appears that this would be an expenditure and a participation that you haven't done before, if I'm understanding this correctly.
Okay.
That you would, A, if you have interest in doing this, my recommendation would be that it should be assigned to staff for review and a report back for your consideration in July. It would appear that the proposed agreement that they would have ought to be reviewed. The next question is going to be, is this going to affect your current budget? Are you looking at an amendment, or is there an appropriation for it? Where would it come out of? And then is there sufficient utility that you will want to include it in this year's fiscal year budget so you can make the expenditure requested? And then if you're looking into the future, how's this going to fit into your budgets in future fiscal years, and under what department are you going to place this so that you have some oversight and some advice about what to do about this in the future? I can tell you with other communities I work with, they do, you know, participate with Valley Ride, and I know highway districts I represent do and others, but I think if this is going to become something that is going to be a normal part of your process rather than a one-time thing, that it would be a benefit to set this up in a manner that perpetuates itself, or you have a good view of all of this and you make a decision about whether you're going to do it or not.
All right. Paul?
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So, well, I guess the recommendation would be to go ahead and draft a document for an agreement, and then we can review that and then make a determination at the next meeting. Does
sure.
that sound reasonable?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That works for you guys. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Next, we have a continuation of public hearing. We have May 7th and April 1st to accept testimony regarding the meeting between staff and the applicant as required by City Council. The public hearing we had May 21st and consideration of 18.07 AM and 18.05 ZC. Pheasant Farm LLC and Mobile Farm LLC. Sam Weiger.
Mr. Mayor, member of the council, Sam Weiger, Planner 1751, West 4th Street. On June 13th, staff and legal counsel met with the applicant Tim Eck and Jeff Bauer per City Council's request at the public hearing on May 21st. Staff's first draft of the staff memo addendum was included as the first item in your packet. After the packet was submitted, two late exhibits were created. I'm going to pass those out here for you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Is this in the packet?
The first line exhibit A6 features edits to the first draft of the addendum that Mr. Bauer recommended. The second line exhibit A7 features the final draft of the staff memo addendum, which I will read. The record, on May 21st, 2019, City Council directed staff to meet with the applicant as directed by Council on June 13, 2019. Planning and zoning staff and the City Attorney met with the applicant Tim Eck and his attorney Jeff Bauer to discuss concerns surrounding case number 18-07-AN and 18-05-ZC, Royal Steiner. Planning and zoning staff discussed with the applicant the possibility of carrying out a lot split and a rezone to have an appropriate zone for townhomes on the Bodell property. Staff discussed options with the applicant on how to move forward with the application. The applicant expressed interest in proceeding with his request for a C1 zoning designation for the Bodell property as submitted. The application, if approved by council, would annex the solar parcels into city limits with R6 medium density residential zoning districts and rezone the Bodell parcel from A agricultural to C1 neighborhood commercial. Although city code does not permit the development of townhomes within the C1 zone, townhomes are permitted in the R8, R12, and R20 high density residential zones. Staff and the applicant further discuss zoning and land use tools that could permit townhomes on the Bodell parcel within an R12 or R20 zoning district. If this application is approved, the applicant may submit a subsequent planning and development application or request to split the Bodell parcel and rezone the newly split parcel to R12 or R20, which will not require a comprehensive plan map amendment. Staff expressed support for townhome use on a portion of the Bodell parcel to provide appropriate transition of uses. Both processes will consist of a public hearing with the Planning and Zoning Commission as the recommending body and the City Council as the decision-making body. The standard parcels are proposed to annex into the city with R6 zoning districts. Staff has determined the annexation and rezone for this request generally complies with the goals and policies for CUNA City, Title 5 of the CUNA City Code, Idaho Code, and the CUNA Comprehensive Plan. I will stand for questions.
Okay, questions for Sam. Okay, none of those time, folks.
What do we recommend, Sam? Are we going to continue with who do we want to continue with?
The applicant.
The applicant, okay. Maybe Sam up and nobody's on the list. I have no idea who wants to do what here.
Mayor Steer, Jeff Bauer, Givens Pursley, 601 West Bannock. I've presented this application twice to you all, so I won't belabor the facts. But we are here on an application to annex and rezone a piece of property into the city as R6 and to rezone another piece of property already annexed from agricultural to C1. We agree with staff's comments and the addendum, as well as our late exhibit, and I would stand for any questions.
Yeah, so you need to sign that, but means he's testifying.
No, just must be on there.
Good.
Okay, questions for Mr. Bauer. So basically, it says here we're still saying that the use was, because of the title of the application, the use is still going to be commercial, residential, right?
Mayor Steer, I believe that's a legal position we've taken in the past, and it's certainly my position that the law will operate independent of whatever approval we get tonight. But our intent, as staff discussed, is to take our C1 zoning, work with your economic development director to try and utilize our property within the scope of the current zoning ordinance to try to get a fully commercial use as currently drafted.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions?
I have a question for staff. Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay, I would just add to, I meant to say this earlier, the zoning we're requesting is fully compliant with the comp plan on both parcels. So thank you all for your time.
Thank you. Sorry for not asking this question earlier. The school district's response just asked for a spot for kids to wait for the buses or a bus turnaround kind of thing. Is that something that we would impose as a condition now, or I presume we would wait until there's an actual development like that, or?
Mr. Mayor, Councilman Bonderhart, that would be something that when development occurs, the bus stop would be a part of that application.
Perfect, thank you.
Okay, this is still a public hearing. I didn't have anybody sign up on the sheet. Was there anybody who wished to testify further tonight but didn't get a chance to sign up? Okay. Thank you. So I guess we're to council debate questions.
We have talked about this a couple times before. It does appear to be consistent with Kansas City Code as well as the comp plan. I'm glad that we appear to have resolved the issues regarding the zoning. So it looks fine to me. Others?
I agree. Looks like they hammered it out and hope the developer will look for a commercial route, and if not, just rezone part of it or whatever, so I'm good. Richard's thinking over there.
I guess my concern is that even here we still don't have a plan. I mean, there's nothing. They want us to rezone this, and then they'll figure out what they want to do and come back later and let us know. And I'm just a little uncomfortable with that, so that's kind of where I sit on this.
I mean, to the extent this is what they're asking for, I don't have much concern with it. We've talked with them, I feel like, ad nauseum about, you know, what our position is in terms of what they'd be allowed to do with the property. Seems like there's understanding there. Did you have something to say, Lisa?
I did. Mayor, members of council, just one comment I would make is one of the challenges CUNA's had when looking for commercial users to come in is that we don't have a lot of sites that are zoned commercial for them to consider. So having a piece of property zoned C1 helps us get a little bit further in the process because they look at it and say, we're actually ready for a shovel-ready site here. We could develop a portion of the site and then go back and do a plat process to divide off what we don't need. So it would help us be a little more competitive in being able to attract some commercial product, and that would be my only comment on why it's good to go forward without a plan, because it gives you more ability to be flexible.
I tend to agree with what both you guys said over there when it comes to what we're actually agreeing to tonight. It looks like we did come to an understanding where we're going to position these properties. I really don't need to belabor the topic much longer.
I guess I'm a little confused. I guess it goes back to you, Bill. If we allow the C1, are we accepting the stance of Mr. Barrow that the application is adequate for a C1 right out to townhouses? I guess that's where I'm confused. The legality of our vote tonight to a C1.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Councilman Cardoza, the statement that Mr. Bauer made on behalf of his client is their position with regards to the laws that applies to the zoning designation, that they get the benefit of the zoning ordinance as it existed at the time that they made their application. My legal position, and if I'm still city attorney at the time that they're applying for either a building permit or for other development within a C1 zone, was unchanged from the opinion I rendered earlier, that they are going to have to comply with the C1 zoning ordinance as it exists in the city at the whatever time they make those subsequent applications. So I think what you're hearing from Mr. Bauer, and he can correct me if I misstate anything he's saying, is that they want to preserve their legal argument. On the other hand, they understand, as I believe, that they're going to have to deal with our legal interpretations of our zoning ordinances, and that the city will, of course, proceed in accordance with what that legal advice is, which is a logistic they have to deal with. And I believe, as I understood the meeting that we had, that they were trying to establish, as I believe the additional staff report has provided to you, how the city could handle their request for future development of the property if they sought to do a multi family housing units and more dense, that this would require PUD or a zone change, a split of the property to accomplish those goals. So I felt that the meeting that we had with Mr. Eckman, with Mr. Bauer, was a good cordial meeting. People maintain their position, but also trying to figure out how do we move forward without getting into loggerheads that would send us in other directions. So that's how I see it. And my opinion has not changed. I think that they are governed by the zoning ordinance as it is up to the time they make an application for some kind of development permit. Then at that point in time, they are entitled to the C1 ordinance as it exists at that time for their proposed development.
Okay.
So did I make that long and complicated enough to answer?
So if you could add to it a little.
My advice hasn't changed, and I don't feel legally our circumstances have changed, and that the C1 zoning ordinance as it now stands would apply.
I guess what my question boils down to, Bill, is if the council was to make a decision tonight for a C1 on that property, would it hinder any litigation from the city on this property? Or is that to be
done? My opinion is, I guess it depends on what the litigation is. I would say if they ask for a development permit of any, you know, because at this point we're just looking at a zone. We're not looking at any permit to do anything other than zone it. It would come up at the time they sought a permit to do something, and then that permit would have to comply with the C1 zone, or they would have to make an application to change the zone to do what they wanted to do, or we do a PUD, which allows you certain mixed use within a zone under your ordinance and under the state law.
One more question. If we were to vote on the C1, would that grandfather Mr. Rick back to the when he originally applied? I guess that's what my basic question was.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Councilman Cordoza, in my opinion, absolutely not.
Okay. Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome.
It seems to me that as part of the motion, we could make it zone that as C1 as the C1 reads today.
I would say not. I wouldn't even recommend you do that because until they make a development permit request and application, if you change that zone tomorrow, it would still apply. So I don't think you can do that unless you did it through some kind of development agreement and they haven't asked for one in this instance.
Okay.
I think the staff report, the addendum, and the presentations that were made kind of show you the pathway in which they would have to proceed to develop that property. And that's something I think we discussed with a certain amount of thoroughness at the meeting that we had on Thursday. And that's how I see that would play out at this point in time.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Brown, I'm back. Was there anything you wanted to clarify there, or was it?
Mayor Steer, Jeff Bauer for the record. No clarification. I think city attorney has properly encapsulated our agreement. Nothing to add.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Therefore, move that we approve case number 18078 and 18050ZC, that we close the public hearing, and that staff is directed to prepare findings of fact, conclusions of law, and an order of decision for approval by council on the next council meeting consent agenda, and that the conditions stipulated in the staff report would also be part of that.
Second. Motion is made and seconded to approve 18078N and 18050ZC. Have staff prepare documents for the next meeting and all conditions apply as listed. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Continuation of public hearing of June 4th, 2019, and consideration to approve Envision CUNA Comprehensive Plan, Wendy Howe.
Wendy, you're so much taller.
I grew a few inches.
And a beard.
And a beard. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, for the record, Jace Hellman, CUNA Planning and Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street. At the last hearing, staff was directed to provide a couple different options of the future land use map based on what Mr. Craig requested. We also made the changes that we were informed to, as well as in changing parcel number S1351. Or S1315-14880, from commercial to low density, S1313-44901, from commercial to mixed use. And then, we had an additional piece of S1424-131800, that was the oversight that should have been mixed use but was left as ag. So those are changed on each option in your packet for the comprehensive plan map. The one piece that was in question was the one that Mr. Craig brought up. That was the S1428223050. As you can see on the map or on the screen, I provided two options, one being the original what was decided on last time, and then two additional options. We sat down with Public Works Director Bob Bachman and discussed what would be good for the capacity for sewer to gravity. And those are the two options that we came up with. The first option is basically 237.28 acres that were previously designated low density are now designated as medium density, with 391 acres, vice versa, low density now, or medium density now designated low density. And then the second one is more of an even split, is more of an even split, at 237.28 acres that was previously low density, now medium density, and then 239 acres the other way. So those are the two options that we did provide, for you guys for your decision this evening. And then the other thing that we were directed was Council President Ruben Bondehart, offered a location for some dark sky language, and we ended up placing it under objective 2.E.5, which ended up adding a letter D, which reads require lighting plans to comply with dark sky principles by developing lighting and advertising policies which minimize light pollution and impact on wildlife. And then we added a second, just a small blurb, but it captures the dark sky under goal 4F. Basically, the sentence now reads, street lighting is managed by the city of CUNA. CUNA's adopted light-emitting diode, or LED, and dark sky street light standards for both standard lighting and upgraded and decorative lighting. So those are the changes that we were requested to make that are now in front of you tonight. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay, I know that you tried to reach out to the person that originally made the request from the audience. Did you ever get an answer back?
Yeah, the option, and my apologies, I did not include it in the packet, but then the option that they send, they can correct me, but I believe they liked option 2 as their preference. But they were okay with the options that we provided.
I guess I was speaking about the dark sky.
Oh.
She's here.
I'd have to direct that to Wendy or the request to see if they were okay with that.
She's here tonight, too.
Okay. I'll talk to her in a minute. No, you're fine.
Is there a sign-in sheet?
There is a big check.
While he's checking, can I ask Bob a question?
Yes.
Bob, did you have a preference between the two?
Beep.
For the record, Bob Bachman, City of Kuna Public Works Director. Council Mayor, I think my preference was three just because of the, or two, I guess it would be, just because of the variety of services we would have in that area would help with some scouring and some other issues, but one also.
So one was the original one, like original comp plan. So two and three both have the area requested by Chase changed to medium density, and the only difference appears to be that extra medium density piece down below. Do you need that extra medium density piece down below that was originally labeled as medium density in the comp plan for scouring, or?
Sorry, that particular piece is actually going to soar a different direction.
Okay.
Everything south of the creek there will, it has its own set of issues. And quite honestly, at this point, we don't know what that's going to entail to get that to sewer. So everything south of the creek to us is not really anything we're looking at this point. So it probably fits well as it is.
I'm sorry, so is that two or three?
Number two.
Okay, so change it from what was originally in the comp plan as medium density to low density.
Yes.
For that piece down below. Okay. Thank you.
It's going to be a little bit harder to service. That's why we originally brought that up to Jace.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay, any further questions for Jace?
Thank you.
Clarification. We're at option one, right, was the preference that you were the one without the medium density chunk below.
They're labeled original option one, option two. There's not an option two.
Yeah. Oh, I can't even move that.
The one I used to be on my left was the original, what we had in front of you guys previously. Right. And then the one in the middle is option one, which is the bigger switch, but still contains the same amount of medium density. And then option two is the one that leaves that chunk south of the Cloverdale intersection.
Okay, so for absolute clarity, we're saying the one in the middle, Bob. Yeah?
Option two.
Correct.
Okay, got it. So that's, yeah, got it. Okay. One in the middle. We're good.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Would that be your left or right?
Mr. Mayor, members of council, Bill Gigg, Ray, city attorney, this piece is not to discuss the merits of the comprehensive plan other than the procedure that I think you will want to think about as you follow through and you conclude proceedings on this evening. We've got to be careful that we want to follow Idaho Code Section 676509B, and it's really specific about this process, and that is if you accept the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission without any material change, then you can proceed to approve it.
Right.
If you decide that you want to change the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission, then I think you'll want to make as a body a very deliberate decision what changes you support. Then I think you decide, is this significant enough to be a material change? And if it is, then I think you would want to be clear that you would support and what options you support that are different than the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission, and then schedule us and renotice the hearing as required by law.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So this is a public hearing. David Grombach has signed up with her, but to testify, would you like to?
Good evening, Mayor, Council members. I'm just here to support the Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendation to change the comprehensive plan for the parcel that Jason mentioned on the corner of Deer Flat and Marine Road.
So also clarification, the Planning and Zoning Department rather than the Commission?
The Commission recommended.
Well, the Commission didn't
recommended changing that.
Oh, okay.
The corner of Deer Flat and Meridian, right? So it's
basically. I was also curious, in the mixed use language in the appendices, there's mention of, this is with an emphasis on residential components, and I'm just curious if that was the intent of staff to include that in the mixed-use zoning.
Okay, we'll have to get staff up to that.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And we have one answer to that.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Jace Hellman, Kunapana Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street. The piece that Mr. Grumbeck is talking about comes from the appendices where it kind of discusses the different zones that are being incorporated with the new comp plan. And the piece is specifically talking about where the mixed use reads land parcel or combination of parcels that contain at least two types of complementary integrated uses, and then gives example of residential, commercial, or office uses with an emphasis on residential components. My reading of it or my interpretation is that saying with an office use, it would be an emphasis in residential, not the overall zone, is my interpretation of that. Okay.
Does that sound reasonable? All right. Thank you. Thank you, Ben. Then next we have Cindy Gissons on that referral to testify.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. My name is Cindy Gissons. I'm at 1363 South Ash Avenue and in Kuna, Idaho. And realizing that I can't come approach you via email or personally, I wanted to come to this public meeting and just thank you for adding this goal 2.5.E.5.D to the comprehensive plan. Just want to read it again. It says, require lighting plans comply with dark sky principles by developing lighting and advertising policies which minimize light pollution and impact on wildlife. This is just a well-crafted statement that I think is going to serve as a shield of protection for Kuna, for city of Kuna. And it will be something that we'll be able to, if approved, that we'll be able to refer to when we are attending developer meetings and neighborhood meetings, when we're picking out a yard light, in all those ways. And I just want to publicly thank you very much, for that and for adding dark sky words to the plan. And I just hope that people fully realize the importance of it and that they refer to it whenever necessary. So, I totally approve of it.
I just want to thank you for coming and making the suggestion, because I do think, what came out over and over again in the comp plan meetings was how we want to preserve kind of our rural character and, the things that everybody loves about living in a small town versus a city. And seeing the stars at night is one of my favorite things. So I really appreciate you showing up and participating and making the suggestion. And I think we're glad to include it.
Yeah, and with this verbiage, it's like a contract, like I mentioned before. To me, it is anyway.
Yeah.
Anybody who refers to it. And I know it will move the, that it'll keep the planning department up to date with zoning and codes and all that sort of stuff, if people draw attention to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much. Let's go to Chase Craig. Chase, hi.
Hi. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members, and staff. Chase Craig, for the record, 337 West Redgrave, Meridian, Idaho, 83646. And I signed up as neutral because I just wanted to make sure that we had everything that we needed. I really appreciate the staff's time and effort into, putting a thoughtful change together on this. And if you look at the proposed comprehensive plan and the map, the land use map, and you look at that corridor going through Kuna Road from Cloverdale to basically Highway 69, this was literally the only section on that road that was low density residential, and I just really didn't feel like it made sense. And I was happy Mr. Bachman was able to let us know that it actually would benefit the sewer treatment by having high density there. And I think it just makes more sense. So I'd also like to just clear something up from a couple weeks ago, the council meeting. It was referenced that the planning, that this recommendation was in front of the Planning and Zoning Commission, and they said no. And, you know, Jason and I had a conversation, went over the minutes. They didn't make a decision at all. They just opted to let city council review with the recommendation. So I just wanted to clear the air on that. That's all I have. So.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jess.
So, Jess, was that something you can confirm? Because that would be very beneficial whether this is a material change or not, if it's something they opted to let us make a decision on.
So, in the minutes from the Planning and Zoning Commission, the only case that they did motion, or in their motion, was the piece that Mr. Grombeck was requesting. In their discussion, they discussed that the Chase Craig piece, that they didn't think it fit, but I don't believe it was in the motion for that.
Okay, so in your opinion, then, they were not opposed to the change, they just...
Correct. It was discussed that they were opposed to it, but it did not make it into their final motion. The only one they motioned on was the piece that Mr. Grombeck was requesting.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I think my preference would be to err on the side of caution, particularly because we've spent so long working on this that I would rather just be safe than sorry, even if it's going to drag it out for another month. So whatever we decide, I mean, to the extent we decide to make any changes, I think my preference would be to just go ahead and re-notice it and then be done with it, if that is agreeable to everyone else.
Yes? And that was all I had to say about the anybody else who wanted to testify on the comprehensive plan matter that didn't get a chance to sign up. Okay, thank you.
So based on Bob's input about the actual need for a medium density piece in that area, it doesn't sound like that's information that Planning and Zoning had. And, you know, given that it's actually beneficial to the city to have that there, I would be fine with endorsing option one, the middle one, just so that everybody's crystal clear. The middle one that we're looking at the screen right now, which is listed as option one in the packet. So changing the northern parcels to a medium density and then changing everything below that to a low density. Seems like it makes sense to me. And then I propose that dark sky changes, so I, of course, endorse that. What are other folks?
I agree 100% with the way Bob was talking about south of the creek there, just that option one is the most appealing. I'd be willing to go with that one.
I'm good with it.
Okay.
Richard?
I just have one question. Is there a big canal living or moving to the west side of that property? That huge more Keller Canal?
There is.
Okay. I guess I have mixed emotions about how density, medium density, that close to a canal. If we're going around apartments and the children around there, I guess I'm just speaking as a grandfather now, so.
Just to clarify, it is only medium density that's being requested there, so we couldn't do a multifamily or anything like that.
Okay. That would be the only thing I'd be worried about is that if memory serves me right, there's a big canal there that's probably 10 or 15 feet deep, if not 20 feet, moving very rapidly through that area. But I'd have no problem with it if it's not high density.
Would you like an opportunity to thought it before we decide?
So I guess just for clarification, from council, would it be an appropriate motion then to indicate that we would like the proposed comp plan to reflect the dark sky changes that were made, and we would like it to reflect what's listed as option one, and then direct staff to re-notice it?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council and Councilman Brianna Uban Bandahar, am I close?
Very close.
I appreciate your take on this. I think if there's any potential argument that there's been any kind of material change, erring on the side of caution, I think is the best. It eliminates an argument completely. Secondly, I think you want to be very clear about any changes that you're supporting from what was recommended to you by the Planning and Zoning Commission. I was getting a little confused about, well, they didn't vote on this, they didn't vote on that. I think you want to be very clear that whatever they recommended, whatever changes you want in the comp plan, but recommended by staff or otherwise, would be included that you support, and then re-notice this for a hearing so that it's clear that those changes were made here, because they already acted, they've already submitted the recommended comp plan. So if you're changing this for the dark lighting, for the change in the map, whatever they are, I would include all of it.
So I'll just make the changes and highlight those so that when we re-notice, people know what we changed.
And where that's at, then it's
clear and we don't have any confusion.
Yes, sir.
Like option 0, 1, and 2.
One more question. Sorry, do you have a question for council? I have a question for Jace then. Can you tell me the correct parcel number? I have it written down differently than what's in the letter to council addressed today. So the one that I'm curious about is, this is going to be the property that was changed from designation of commercial to low density residential. I have it written down as ending 800, and in this letter it's 880. So can you tell me which one is correct, and then I will make sure to say it quickly?
Council President Ruben Bonderhart, it is the 880 as the ending. I may have added an extra zero when I was talking.
No, I think I had it written down from last meeting.
Oh, okay.
So I just wasn't sure.
Yeah, the person
is actually both in there. One's at 800, one's at 880.
Right, I had two written down as ending with 800. So.
Okay. Yeah, the one from commercial to low density ends with 880.
Great. Okay.
That'd be option 880. Well, considering this, I just would like to take a moment to thank staff and the public and everyone that's been involved in this. This has been a tricky process, doing our very best with our most due diligence to make this city grow in a direction that the people have a say in, and I think we've done a pretty good job with that, so I appreciate everybody's help and effort in this.
I'd like to make just a quick comment, maybe open discussion to this, but after the last couple of weeks of really being able to think about the changes that were wanting to be made and looking at, I do want to talk briefly about the parcel 880, commercial to low density. Lisa made a comment tonight that talked about the things she's hearing where we're limited on the commercial side, and when we look at just kind of flipping our hands and saying, great, let's change it to commercial or residential without even really having a discussion about getting rid of a parcel like that, it does a disservice, I think, to the commercial side of things. especially on that side of town where, if you look at the map, the commercial's limited in and of itself. So that's a situation, at least I'd like to kind of get everyone's thoughts on that.
My recollection is that that is a parcel where Enrique and Ana Paz currently live, so that it actually is already being used as low density residential. And it's in the middle of a bunch of residential.
Yeah, Lisa Holland, for the record, it is being used currently as a low-density residential house, and that's why they wanted to keep it that way. I don't see any concerns with the way that the surrounding use is on that one. It would be a tough parcel to develop out as commercial anyway right now, the way that it's set up.
That's really all I needed to hear. That's why I wanted to bring that up, because I just had a little thought process on that. So, thank you.
Okay. I would like to direct staff then to modify the proposed comp plan to reflect that parcel number S142413-1800. Which is currently designated in the comp plan as ag, should be changed to mixed use. But parcel S131514-1880, which is currently proposed in the comp plan to be commercial, be changed to low density residential. But parcel S131344-101, which is currently listed as commercial, be changed to mixed use. Is there a number missing from that parcel number? Yeah, I read it out of the packet. So can you tell me what the number is, Jace? I read it out of the cover sheet. So it's just missing a number.
S131344901.
Yeah, there's only 9 numbers and there should be 10.
Okay, the parcel number for that one should be S131344991.
Thank you. Modify my motion then. Parcel S131344991, currently designated as commercial, would be changed to mixed use. And the parcel S142822-3050 in the surrounding area, which is currently designated as low density, be changed to medium density. And then I don't have the parcel number, but change the zoning so that it be reflected what's on the map listed as option one for the other surrounding areas near that parcel. And finally, that we incorporate the dark sky comments from the two sections we talked about, objective 2E5, and also the addition in goal 4F. But those changes will be incorporated into the comp plan and let it be re-noticed for consideration and potential approval and public hearing and all that wonderful stuff at the soonest date possible.
And I'll second all of that.
Thanks.
All right, so we have a motion to make the changes as listed by Councilmember Ruben Vanderhaar. Is everyone clear on the changes there? Is there any question on those? We're all in agreement on that. Okay, and we have a second on that. Is there any further discussion?
What's the number?
Which number? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Business items, staff report on financing tools and urban renewal workshop. Lisa Holland, Economic Development Director.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the Council. Lisa Holland, Economic Development Director for the City of CUNA, for the record. I just wanted to come up and give you a brief summary. I included a page on in your packet that talks through kind of some of the feedback that we got from that workshop that I believe everyone on the Council was able to attend except for Councilmember McPherson. So we had 33 participants overall at the workshop from a variety of backgrounds. We had a lot of our public taxing entities, public partners, the business community there. We gave kind of a quick overview of many of the funding tools available to cities, which included community infrastructure districts, business improvement districts, STAR funding, and then we spent a little bit longer time talking about urban renewal. And the main areas of interest from those who were in attendance were talking about opportunities for industrial and commercial growth, talking about opportunities for railroad crossings and an overpass, some of the transportation type initiatives, parks and recreation space, and then also the downtown. Some of the main concerns that we heard if we were to explore urban renewal was around making sure we had good messaging and transparency. We kept the public informed. We paid attention to what the impact would be on our schools, fire and police, and other concerns were around what impact the loss of property taxes would have for other uses. So those were some of the main concerns that kind of came out of it. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have based off of that workshop. I know most of you were in attendance. And one other note, too, is that we did live stream that, and we had over 400 people watch the live stream. So I think that was a pretty good turnout overall. Couple things just to keep in mind is if we do explore urban renewal as a city, one good thing for at least fire and police is that impact fees would still apply for any new developments coming in. So even though they may not see the increment of those tax dollars coming to them, they would still get the impact fees for any developments that would come in if we did create an urban renewal district. They can't apply, you can't create a district that takes up more than 10% of your community, so there's some sideboards there as well. It's a maximum of 20 years or earlier if you complete what your projects are that are in your development plan. And you can work to address improvements needed to help public entities in the plan. You can't put up a building, but you can help, you know, get ground ready, shovel ready for development projects. You had a fire station that needed to be constructed in that zone. You could theoretically get the site ready to go for them and let them build their own building. And if you wanted to build a public building, you just have to go out to a vote, and you could still use urban renewal funding to do that. It just takes a little bit longer and has to go through a voting process like you would a levy or a bond. Usually when you define an urban renewal district, you put it in an area that wouldn't otherwise develop. So the biggest benefit is that you're putting infrastructure in the ground for an area that otherwise probably wouldn't see development for another 20 plus years. And there's no risk to property owners if a district fails or property values decrease because it's not an extra tax on those properties. It's just taking the increment of the property tax increase. So just a few notes to help kind of mitigate some of the concerns. We've been trying to be very proactive on transparency and getting a lot of education and awareness about how some of these tools work just so that we can be really proactive because we want to do what's right for the community in the long term. Met with the fire department earlier today, met with the police chief as well, and I've had some brief conversations with Ada County. Plan to meet more with the school district and the library and Ada County as well to make sure that we answer any of their questions and kind of talk about what could happen. But I would, at this point, request direction from council on how you'd like to proceed moving forward. We could do a couple of things. We could continue doing some public outreach and education, answering questions. Or we could move forward with doing an eligibility study, which would give us kind of the tools to see, does this make sense for Kearna? It's just kind of the first step. It doesn't require appointing the commissioners at this point. It would just say, here's a plan of what we could consider or certain areas that would qualify for the eligibility piece. And then we could look at doing a planning commissioners and forming a plan and doing a feasibility analysis at that point. So those are kind of the options on the table to do an eligibility study. Some of the rough numbers I've gotten in the beginning is at least saying it's somewhere between $10,000 to $20,000 to do an eligibility study, probably a 2 to 4 month process to do. So it would be probably a lot of it covered in some of this year's budget, but also in next year's budget. And I'd work with Jerry to see how we could allocate for that and come back to you with a proposal once we talk to some other agencies, if that's the direction you'd like to go.
Okay.
So, is there any tax entity that is exempt from the urban renewal?
Councilmember Cardoza, I believe the impact fees are exempt, and I know there were some changes that one of my colleagues in economic development said there might be a change that that school districts might be exempt from a portion of that collection. I'm not positive on that, and I need to look into it a little bit further. I can get back to you with that.
Okay. If we publish information, it might be beneficial to the public if there is entities that are exempt, that they be published so people know that maybe their school district or their library district, they would be, what would be incorporated into this. Just, it might just get a little better reception from the public. So.
And one note too, just to remind councils, the way that an urban renewal assessment would work is you just basically take a snapshot of where the property tax values are, and the only thing that gets put back into that specific district is just the increase in property values. So the difference. So if you have a piece of property that's worth $100,000 and there's a development that comes in next to it that makes that property then worth $150,000 later, the taxes on the $50,000 increment would be what would go into the urban renewal.
Right.
The original $100,000 would still get taxed as it always had to the other entities.
Right.
And I can ask Mr. Giger if he knows if there's any exceptions to the...
I thought I saw my hand showed up and go back down real quick.
Bill Gray, City Attorney, Mr. Mayor, Member of the Council, Council Cardoza. The Urban Renewal Law and the revenue allocation provisions of the Urban Renewal Law just design, as Lisa has indicated, a method by which funds can be accumulated by the Urban Renewal District to fund items that are established in the plan. And that is the difference between the assessed valuation once the Urban Renewal District is established for the period of time that the Urban Renewal District exists. And so the increase in assessed value in the property tax collected is what revenue goes to the Urban Renewal Board. The rest goes back to the taxing entities. If the entity is already tax exempt from property tax, like school districts are, cities are, fire districts are, they're not going to pay property taxes anyway. Where there's some exemptions for those entities are for impact fees. The statute provides, unless it is specifically stated in the ordinance, that impact fees are not paid by property taxing entities, and by action of the Idaho legislature this year, that includes charter schools. And that may be what you're thinking about.
Okay. Thank you.
And also, the material changes do apply when it resets to zero again.
If you notice.
I'm tabbing on this material changes thing.
Mayor, members of the council, one other note I might make is that some communities, to help mitigate what school districts or what different entities that could have received that increment would have missed out on, sometimes cities can offer a program that would give them extra monies out of the general budget. So that's something you could look at doing. I would have to do more research on how other cities have structured that, but Mr. Giggrey might have some more information on that idea.
Excuse me.
Please.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I've experienced this in Caldwell East Urban Renewal District, the city of Caldwell. I represent two entities that received funds because it was included in the plan. The Canyon Highway District were receiving monies, which will help pay for a new bridge across the Boise River. And the Caldwell School District received funds to do in addition to Caldwell High School. And so those, but that, the key is the plan. The plan has to identify what it is those funds are going to be used for. So, and those plans can change from time to time as well.
So my initial thoughts on this is, I think, on the one hand, I think it would probably be a good idea to do an eligibility study just so we kind of have an idea of what options might exist and it doesn't tie us to doing anything. On the other hand, there is an election coming up and I don't know if it would be more appropriate to wait until that occurs and then let new council, if it is new council, make that decision. I'm kind of six and a half dozen the other in the sense that we're pushing it off for 6 months if we do decide to wait, and then it's still a 4-month process before it even would get done. So, you know, potentially pushing it off for almost a year before we would even be in a position to make a decision about moving forward on something. So I think my preference is probably for the former, which is to say, go ahead and allocate the money, start the eligibility study, and then just not make a decision on it until after the election slash after new council is sworn in. Just so that we can keep things moving forward if we decide to keep moving forward with the process. But I'm interested in hearing what other folks think too.
So for me, I would like to make sure that all the entities that could possibly be affected would be in the conversation before we even get to the eligibility study, but I think we can do that fairly quickly, so that would be my preference, is make sure everyone is aware, so that it's not a surprise to them that we're looking at something, even though it doesn't mean we're going to enact it anyway, but...
Cardozo looks super bemused.
I don't have a problem. I'm not up for re-election.
Mayor, members of the council, if I might make a suggestion, one thing you could consider doing is have me work on doing some more of the public outreach, getting some opinions, continuing to give you the feedback and the concerns we hear on those things, and then reach out and understand how much it would cost to do an eligibility study and bring you back an option to look at, and make it that we wouldn't present the results of that eligibility study until after the election, and then we could move forward with whatever you decide to do at that point. But we could start at least doing the eligibility study in the meantime.
Sure. Proceed with that plan.
Right.
So, yeah, that sounds good. We'll just go ahead and start adding that into the budget process also as we go. But.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was good. I appreciate the... workshop that you put together. I think it was well received, and these are the kind of things that are really important to get the public involved in, so that they know the facts rather than the rumors. So, all right, that is all we have on the agenda. Is there anything that council wishes to discuss, announce, or otherwise?
Bobby, congratulations.
For Mr. Bob, I should say thank you for the splash pad for
awesome.
Except it goes off at 8 o'clock.
I am hearing a lot of that.
So one of the problems to that, though, is that there's tanks that store the water that comes in. So it's potable water that goes in and dumps on the kids, and that goes down the drain, and then the filtering system, like the water goes into the tanks, and then it has to be filtered out so that we can use it for pressurized irrigation. Well, the situation is it has to go through and filter through, so if they run it too many hours, then the tank gets full, and then that's when you will see the standing water above the drain. Which really doesn't cause any problem other than the fact there's standing water up there. But that's kind of, yeah, Bobby will probably get it straightened out now that I said
it. For the record, Bobby Whitfield, Parks Director. Mayor Steer was right on point with everything. The thing is if we have standing water, then we need a lifeguard on duty, or we get in a lot of trouble. So.
Can I ask a question or slash make a suggestion?
Yes.
Other than that one. How would you feel about doing a really scientific Facebook poll, she said facetiously, to see if people would potentially be, like, if they would prefer it to go noon to 8, or if they, because some, it seems like most of the feedback is it should be open later. So if they would instead be supportive of changing it from 1 to 9 or something like that, explaining what the issue is and that, you know, if it's we can only run it for a maximum of 8 hours consecutively, here's your options, people, what folks would prefer.
Yeah, we can definitely do that. Another thing we heard was if we could start it earlier, so maybe even starting it at like 10, running till 1 or 2, have a break in the when it gets really hot outside, and then having it come back on later on.
Yeah, so we'll list a couple of those things as options and just explain as succinctly but understandably as you can about like what kind of the issue is and that it couldn't run continuously from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. And so here's kind of the different options that we're considering if we make a change at all.
Mm-hmm.
And give us feedback.
All right, will do.
Yeah. Thank you.
Very good.
Thanks, Bobby. Anything else? Staff? Nothing else you want to throw out there?
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Mayor, City Council, just wanted to remind everybody that next City Council meeting, we're going to be starting our budget deliberations. So we'll be having those reports out for your consideration next council meeting.
Can you refresh my memory, Jared? My recollection is that we have not set any, at this point, for sure, extra sessions or different start times or anything. It's all just been incorporated as part of the meetings, unless we need to change something?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, Jared Hempy, City Treasurer. So we haven't, remember I sent out that email just saying that, well, we have these dates available. However, I wasn't planning on using any of those extra dates, but if we need to, we can certainly make those dates available.
I try to put stuff in my calendar as soon as I'm made aware of it, and I couldn't find anything extra, so I wanted to just make sure that I didn't inadvertently not record something, so thank you.
Okay, thank you. Very good. Well, meeting adjourned.
Yay.